Immigration has never been the simple melting pot story we've been told. While Ellis Island welcomed 25 million Europeans between 1880 and World War I with minimal restrictions, the same open-door policy never existed for non-Europeans. The Immigration Act of 1924 created America's first significant numerical restrictions on European immigration, while completely excluding aliens ineligible to citizenship, effectively all non-whites. This legislation also established the border patrols specifically to prevent Mexican migration, creating a two-tiered system, regulated but possible immigration for Europeans and near-total exclusion for others. Today's immigration law maintains this discrimination through a complex preference system that, while racially neutral on paper, functionally excludes most potential immigrants from developing nations. For many, there is literally no legal pathway to enter the U.S. Even immediate family members often wait 15-20 years for permission, with some Filipino and Mexican categories facing backlogs beyond two decades. The phrase, "I'm not against immigration, just illegal immigration," ignores this reality. When most European ancestors came to America, they simply decided to make the journey. No visas, passports, or complex documentation required. They weren't illegal because no law existed to make their immigration illegal. They needed only to be healthy, able to work, and not obviously criminal. Today's system, by contrast, permanently excludes most people who want to immigrate. The claim that immigrants take American jobs contains two major fallacies. American jobs has little meaning in our globally integrated economy, and the economy is elastic. Population growth generates economic activity that creates new jobs. Research by the Pew Hispanic Foundation found no consistent pattern showing native-born workers suffering job losses from immigration. Immigrants typically fill complementary roles supporting native workers. U.S. unemployment rates have fluctuated between 4-8% since the 1920s, showing no direct correlation to immigration rates. Immigrants of all statuses contribute significantly to taxes. Many undocumented immigrants work using false Social Security numbers, creating a government windfall. They pay into systems but cannot access benefits. As of 2005, undocumented workers provided Social Security approximately $7 billion annually in unclaimed contributions. Latin American immigrants sent over $50 billion home in 2005, representing about 10% of their income, while spending 90% in the United States. These remittances create multiplier effects in recipient communities, reducing poverty while creating new markets for U.S. products. The United States incorporated populations through three distinct methods: voluntary immigration, involuntary immigration, and conquest, challenging the myth that Americans are all descendants of immigrants on equal footing. Even voluntary immigration included contract workers, indentured servants, and braceros without full rights. For European immigrants, assimilation meant becoming white and adopting white racial attitudes. Irish, Italian, and Jewish immigrants initially faced discrimination but achieved whiteness through cultural adaptation. As Toni Morrison noted, the quickest path into American culture was learning to view the native-born Black population negatively. For immigrants of color, assimilation means entering a racial hierarchy rather than achieving upward mobility. Haitian immigrants become African Americans, vulnerable to racism, not generic Americans. For European immigrants, assimilation means entering a racial hierarchy rather than achieving upward mobility. Haitian immigrants become African Americans, vulnerable to racism, not generic Americans. Researcher Marcelo Suarez Orozco found Latino immigrants arrive with high aspirations but become disillusioned upon discovering education won't deliver promised mobility in inner-city environments. Higher education levels actually increase income disparities between whites and non-whites. Black and Latino professionals with advanced degrees often earn less than white counterparts with lesser qualifications, demonstrating how racial hierarchies persist despite educational achievement. Today's immigrants are learning English while maintaining their native languages. census data shows 18% of Americans spoke a non-English language at home by 2000, yet over 75% of these individuals were also proficient in English. Research confirms that the longer immigrants stay, the more they adopt English, with arrival age being the key factor affecting fluency. The myth of resistance to English learning contradicts the overwhelming demand for instruction. ESL programs nationwide have years-long waiting lists. New York City offers only 40,000 slots for over a million hopeful students. A Pew Hispanic Foundation study found 92% of Hispanics believed teaching English to immigrant children was very important, compared to 87% of non-Hispanic whites. Despite this clear desire to learn English, English-only laws have gained traction in many states. These campaigns exploit fears about national unity while ignoring bilingualism's benefits. Children receiving instruction in their native language while learning English show better outcomes in both subject mastery and English acquisition, with well-implemented bilingual programs increasing graduation rates by up to 7%. Economically, bilingual employees earn 5 to 20% more than monolingual workers, and companies increasingly seek multilingual talent, yet political discourse continues to frame language diversity as a problem rather than an asset. Immigration follows historical colonial relationships. Colonization creates cultural ties while destroying local institutions and establishing inequality. In Puerto Rico, the U.S. implemented aggressive Anglicization, dismissing Spanish as having little value as an intellectual medium. Colonization transforms economies to facilitate migration. Colonial powers extract resources while forcing indigenous peoples from subsistence farming into wage labor. Foreign-owned corporations create stark contrasts between first-world enclaves and surrounding poverty. The Philippines demonstrates how U.S. colonial policies established enduring migration patterns. With U.S. nurses earning $36,000 versus $2,000 in the Philippines, migration became inevitable. The American Hospital Association recruited Filipino nurses while Congress authorized additional visas. This created contradictory effects. Filipino workers sent back $10.7 billion in remittances in 2005, 13.5% of GDP, yet the healthcare system deteriorated as professionals left. Immigration debates often ignore how U.S. economic and military policies create conditions driving migration. From supporting authoritarian regimes in Latin America to implementing trade policies that devastate local agriculture, American foreign policy has repeatedly destabilized regions that later become sources of migration. Since Operation Gatekeeper began in 1994, approximately 3,000 migrants died crossing the U.S.-Mexico border by 2004, with hundreds more dying annually thereafter. These policies haven't reduced unauthorized crossings, they've only pushed routes to more dangerous areas. The primary effect is that migrants now stay longer in the U.S. and increasingly bring families, as border crossing has become too dangerous for regular home visits. The real victims are people like Maria Eugenia Martinez, a Guatemalan mother who died attempting to cross the desert to return to her job supporting her children's education after being deported. Her story represents the true immigration challenge that few Americans witness. Immigration isn't a problem as commonly framed, but a humanitarian issue requiring compassionate solutions. People migrate out of necessity, not choice. What's needed is a model of global economic integration that distributes resources more equitably. Solutions include rolling back punitive legislation, especially the 1996 Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. Extending legal rights to all immigrants would eliminate exploitation and strengthen workers' position. Creating a more equal society requires enhanced social safety nets, national health care, and corporate accountability. The question remains, will we continue to fight against the poor or address poverty itself? Will we recognize that migration is a symptom of global inequality rather than its cause? Our answer will determine not just immigrants' fate, but our nation's moral character.